and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Gerard. Gilzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Holby. Hunt. Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Excused. 3. Boquist. Hannah. Thatcher. Excuse for business. 1. Nolan.
Flag salute will be led by Representative Terry Beyer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be a moment of silence. Courtesies. Representative Lim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Being the first one introducing my lovely lady sitting with me today is my intern for the day. Her name is Tina Smith, and Tina attends Azusa Pacific. She is a double major in political science and communications and wants to study law. She works at the American Eagle, and Tina will be getting a total of 4 semester credit for the effort in SB 829, which is before you today. Wonderful lady. And then I have also another guest. I would like to extend courtesies to Dollar Study and Linda Strong. Where are you? Okay, right there. Okay. And these two lovely ladies are here for SB 829. Dollar lives in Gresham. Dollar is a general manager for a local spa company. Linda lives in Oregon City. She retired and spends a great time with her 8 grandkids. And I would like to extend courtesies to them also. And where's Nancy Smith? Oh, right there. Can you come to the... I would like to extend also the courtesies to the Nancy J. Smith. She is a nature photographer, native Oregonian, delights in capturing images that reveal nature in its purest state. All images are shot on film without manipulations. Her award-winning work, such as the Majestic Pacific Northwest Calendar, now in its 16th year, is a labor of love and continues to be a popular worldwide. She has spent 17 years photographing the beauty of the Pacific Northwest. Her products include full-color scenic wildlife, wool, and desk calendar, photographs for homes and office decor, note cards, and screen-printed apparels. Clients include PGE, ATS System Oregon, Audubon, Timberline Lodge, and Made in Oregon. Not only she takes a picture, also she captures the soul. And Mr. Speaker, can I have a unanimous consent to show the pictures of what she has done? This is the nationwide that the award-winning the calendar, and this is also the award-winning, and all this captures the Oregon Northwest. All right. Thank you very much for bringing this picture, and God bless you. Thank you. Upside down. Are you sure?
Representative Lim asked retroactively for unanimous consent to use the visual aid. Is there an objection? Hearing none, we appreciate your presentation.
Thank you very much.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm very pleased to introduce one of our pages for the day, Georgia Tecker. Georgia, if you would please stand up. Georgia attends Atkinson Elementary School, where she plays soccer. She also plays the saxophone, and it's my understanding that she was playing in a concert at Atkinson Friday night in the saxophone section when our very own Speaker of the House was in the audience and heard her play a pretty wild rendition of Tequila. She wants to be an artist, musician, or an architect, and her father is probably known to many of you. He's her very proud father, Randy Tecker, who walks the halls of our building on behalf of Metro. So please join me in welcoming Georgia.
It's good to have you, Georgia, and that was a superb job by your band on Friday night. Really, really good. Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have the distinct honor of introducing honorary page Patrick Romare. He is a soon-to-be graduate of my alma mater, Hillsborough High School. He is currently a member of the School Key Club, the School Senate, and the cross-country team. He is also the parking duty leader at the Sunset Presbyterian Church. Thanks for serving as honorary page today, Patrick.
Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, am going to introduce an honorary page. So, Hope Tucker, would you stand up? Hope is Georgia Tucker's cousin, and she is a fifth grader at Glencoe Elementary. She is an excellent competitive swimmer, plays soccer, and is learning the clarinet in the school band, and is part of the safety patrol. She thinks she wants to be a teacher someday, which I can highly recommend to her. Thank you very much for being here, Hope.
Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce the honorary page, Emily Stack. Emily, stand up. Emily lives in Prineville with her mother, Gretchen. She's in the 12th grade at Crook County High School. Emily belongs to the Honor Society, the Key Club, STARS. She attended Girls State, and she participates in cross-country skiing. Emily wants to be a United States diplomat. Welcome, Emily.
Representative Thatcher.
Thank you, colleagues. I, too, have an honorary page today. Joe Collinsworth. Joe Collinsworth is here from Kaiser. He is the son of Susan Collinsworth. He's homeschooled. He's age 12. He's in the sixth grade. He likes art, Legos, Bionicles, Star Wars, and drawing. He's on a yearbook committee. He plays soccer, and he wants to be an actor or a writer. Please welcome Joe.
Representative Comp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my privilege to recognize some students from the fifth grade at Jervis Middle School. I think they might be, oh, they're up there in the back, all of them. Welcome to the Capitol and their teacher, Kristen Hazelton.
Stand at ease for a moment. Are there any further courtesies? Messages from the governor? Messages from the Senate?
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate to pass Senate Bills 582, 954, concurred in House Amendments and repass Senate Bills 206, 707, and 838. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate to pass House Bills 2093, 2185, 5013, 2186, 2231, 2232, 2237, 2239, 2475, 2567, 2606, 2667, 2708, 2908, 2982. Pass the following House Bill as amended by the Senate. House Bill 2650. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed House Bills 2700, 2823, 5015, 5027, 5028, 5029, 5030, 2053, 2068, 2069, 2074, 2092, 2154, 2169, 2218, 2219, 2221, 2244, 2250, 2253, 2254, 2255, 2259, 2260, 2287, 2289, 2318, 2362, 2366, 2379, 2385, 2423, 2490, 2668, 2669, 2729, 2741, 2756, 2773, 2782, 2869, 2826, 2906, 2970, 3068, HCR, 7 HGM, 22, and HGR 51.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. Special committee reports. Special orders of business. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 829 relating to light rail.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 829A. Representative Lim and colleagues, there are a lot of conversations going on. Let's give Representative Lim our full attention. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker and colleague. The Senate Bill 829A requires the Tri-County Metropolitan Transportation District, which is TriMet, to commission an independent study to make findings and recommendations regarding
colleagues,
light rail system.
Colleagues, Representative, if you'll hold just a moment. It is still very noisy on the floor. Can you please take your conversations out into the lobby or the side aisle?
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, again. Again, requires the Tri-County Metropolitan Transportation District to commission an independent study to make findings and recommendations regarding light rail system pedestrian crossing safety. Since the first line opened in 1986, 19 pedestrians and bicyclists have died as a result of light rail train collisions. Out of these 19 accidents, the June 23, 2003, which is almost 4 years ago, a young man, a student of Gresham High School, Aaron Wagner, passed away after he was hit by a MAX train as it pulled into Eastern Parkway Transit Center in Gresham. Aaron was 16 years old. After Aaron was riding his bike across the track, he didn't see the train nor the operator see him. Mr. Speaker and members of this House, Aaron, he started when he was a young boy, baseball at the age of 5, and played 9 years. He began Taekwondo, a Korean martial art, at the age of 8. At the age of 9, he went to Junior Olympic and placed 4th in the nation. He studied football in the 5th grade and played for 6 years. In middle school, he played basketball, did track, and also wrestled, placing first in many tournaments. He was a student body president his 8th grade year to around 750 students, and 2 years drama in high school. He was also actively involved in church. Even though he met tragic death by the TriMet accident, his mother, Darla, working hard to pass this Senate Bill 829A to make sure no other young man in the future or any person met the same fate as his son did. Out of her concern, out of her hard work, for 4 years, Finally, we are here to pass Senate Bill 829, make sure such things might not happen again. Accidents happen, bound to happen, but we need to prevent in the future happen less and save other lives. I urge each member of this legislature unanimously in support of the S. Bill 829A. And I also asking the Representative Linda Flores to speak on this issue. Thank you.
Co-carrier Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative Lim. Colleagues, this bill started out as a story I heard from an intern who worked in my office last session. So often the best ideas for legislation really does come from our constituents, and this is one of those cases. Many of you have probably already met Darla Sturdy. She's been a constant presence in the Capitol since just about the first week in session. In fact, she brought the idea for changes in state law. At the end of last session, we had a couple of bills drafted in the spring of 2006. This is about making changes so other families don't have to go through what Darla has had to endure. And as Representative Lim told you, Darla's 16-year-old son, Aaron, was killed almost 4 years ago when a Max light rail train struck him down while he was riding his bike near the pedestrian crosswalk at Civic Drive in Gresham, right in front of the Cal Alternative High School. Aaron was an athlete, involved in student government, drama, and his church youth groups. At first, we had two ideas, two bills for change. One was to install crossing gates at all pedestrian crossings along the MAX line, and the other was to require TriMet, light rail, and bus operations to call 911 first before they contact their dispatch centers. The legislation took a big picture look in the Senate, however. The Senate Business Transportation and Workforce Development Committee amended Senate Bill 829 to reflect what you have here today. Senate Bill 829 requires TriMet to contract for an independent study, someone with expertise in light rail systems to look at the pedestrian crossings in the TriMet system, then make findings and recommendations to TriMet. Why did the Senate committee make such a big picture change in this bill? Well, one of the reasons was in regard to the availability of accurate data. My office requested the latest information from ODOT and TriMet to get an idea on how many deaths and injuries had occurred in recent years along light rail and bus lines in the Portland area. At first, it was difficult to get the information. The folks at ODOT told us in just 2005 alone, there were a dozen pedestrian and bicyclists killed and 850 injured for both MAX and bus. Then a few months later, TriMet gave the Senate committee a thick report outlining all their MAX line safety data going back to the beginning of the system in 1986. According to the transit agency, there has been a total of 19 fatalities in the last 20 years, just involving light rail. Somehow the numbers did not add up. Was it 12 deaths in 1 year or 19 in 20 years? I applaud the Senate committee for asking the same questions and taking a step back to review exactly what's going on and require the agency to review all of their pedestrian crossings to find out where improvements need to be made. I know we sometimes question whether legislative intent carries any weight, but I wanted to get it on the record a few points I hope TriMet and those of you who will be following this issue will keep in mind as we do go forward. We were very concerned about some of the opposition that we met from TriMet. There had been discussions, and it seemed like almost trying to dismiss the number of fatalities and injuries by saying majority of them were attributed to people exhibiting risky behavior, trespassing, or committing suicide. Does that reduce TriMet's responsibility to provide the safest crossings possible? I hope you would agree with me that it does not. Then we talk about public access to safety information. Anyone can ask for it because it's public record. but their accident information isn't on the TriMet website. And I question why not. If it's public record and the taxpayers are paying for this information and for all the safety improvements, why not be open about your track record? It is time for an update on TriMet safety systems. The last time TriMet did a comprehensive study on their safety systems was in 1999. It's been 8 years, and a lot has changed since then. Airport MACs and interstate MACs have come along, and now we're talking Milwaukee MACs and commuter rail in the future. During her research, Darla Sturdy found...
Representative Morgan Yields.
Thank you, Representative from Green. During her research, Darla Sturdy found a recommendation in the last safety study which said any school within 600 feet of the MAX line should have special crossing gates. But there are three schools near where her son was killed that don't have these safety devices. I hope that this new independent study will produce some positive results and that TriMet will return to the legislature to review their findings and recommendations with us. Finally, I would like to thank Darla Sturdy for all of her hard work and her family's support for her in digging up all the background material, talking to legislators, and for hanging in there when it looked like her bills were dead. Thank you, Darla, for hanging in there for Aaron, so perhaps other families like yours won't have to suffer a similar tragedy. Colleagues, I urge your support for Senate Bill 829.
Further discussion? Representative Lim, do you wish to close? Those who are of the opinion that Senate Bill 829A should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? He votes aye. Senate Bill 829A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Before I gavel this down, though, I would like to ask Darla Sturdy to stand. We grieve in the loss of your son, but we applaud your efforts to take his death to be meaningful for others in the future and your work on this bill. Well done. Representative Patty Smith, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to return to the order of courtesies.
Representative Patty Smith asked unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies. Is there an objection? Hearing none, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a Deep Creek Elementary fourth grade class. I hope they're here. Mike Bice is with them. Would you stand up, please? And we'd like to extend courtesies. There's 95 of them, so I'm very proud to introduce them. Thank you for coming to the Capitol. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
It's wonderful to have you with us. I think that your school has a beautiful view of Mount Hood, I believe, if it's the one I'm thinking. Is that right? Yeah. Are there further courtesies? Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 479, relating to school lighting and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 479B. Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On November 12, 2004, a group of teachers in the Lake Oswego School District gathered at Bryant Elementary School in my district for an in-service training day. They were seated in the gymnasium for a morning session that started at 7:45 a.m. and continued until midday. During the session, several of them experienced eye irritation. Their eyes teared. One thought she was coming down with the virus. Another teacher rear-ended a vehicle on her drive home because she couldn't see the distance in front of her car. That night, each of them suffered from fever and discovered severe burns in their eyes and skin. What was the cause of these injuries? They were traced to a broken metal halide light bulb in the ceiling of the gym. The bulb had been broken by a volleyball a couple of weeks earlier, but had continued to stay lighted. so it had been left in place. What the school staff didn't realize is that an R-type metal halide or mercury vapor light bulb gives off dangerous UV radiation after its protective shell is broken, even though it stays lit. The teachers who were seated directly below the broken bulb were exposed to this radiation for 5 hours. The maximum daily exposure to such radiation under generally accepted national standards was reached in 8 minutes. But these victims were exposed for hour after hour after hour. Mr. Speaker, or Madam Speaker, I request permission to use a visual aid.
Representative McPherson requests unanimous consent for permission to use a visual aid. Is there objection? Hearing none, please proceed.
2 months ago, several of the teachers came to the Judiciary Committee, the teachers who were injured by that broken light bulb, to testify on another bill relating to product liability. The lights in our hearing room had to be dimmed for their comfort. Even so, they wore dark glasses, just as you see I'm wearing in our chamber today. This is how life is for them now, a life spent indoors away from the sunlight. This is now over 2.5 years after they suffered the injuries. Senate Bill 479 comes before us today. This bill protects teachers in our public schools and the students they teach. It requires school districts in Oregon to replace all R-type metal halide or mercury vapor light bulbs with T-type light bulbs. The T-type bulbs have an internal mechanism that shuts off the light within 15 minutes after the bulb is broken. Replacement would be required to be completed by December 31, 2007. Some say what happened at Bryant Elementary School was just a freak accident. And I suppose that could accurately be said about the fact that several teachers were injured so severely before the cause was discovered. But the makers of these light bulbs have known about this risk for many years. Now, Oregon school districts know about this risk as well. And in fact, the Lake Oswego School District acted quite promptly to replace all of those bulbs that remained in their facilities. Our school children and the staff who look after them should not be at risk of exposure to such radiation, even for short periods of time. Now that we understand the dangers of non-extinguishing metal halide lights, we should not allow that danger to continue. Please join me in voting for Senate Bill 479B.
Further discussion? Representative McPherson, do you wish to close? Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Representative Nolan, excused for business of the House. Senate Bill 479B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Scott, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Request a unanimous consent for a recess for purposes of a Republican caucus.
And for how long, Representative Scott?
Probably somewhere around 30 minutes.
Representative Scott requests unanimous consent for a 30-minute recess for purpose of a Republican caucus. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Democrats will go ahead and take advantage of this time and caucus as well.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the House is in recess.
Barnhart Burger, Burger Buyer, Fire Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Burley Butler, Cameron, Cameron Cannon, Clem, Clem Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Dingfelder Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Flores Galizio, Gerard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilliam Gilman, Gilman Gerard, Gerard Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Jensen Comp, Comp Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, McPherson Maurer, Maurer Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Olson Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Scott Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Berger, Beyer, Burley, Cameron, Clem, Dingfelder, Flores, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Jensen, Comp, McPherson, Maurer, Olson, Scott, excused, Boquist, Hannah.
Clerk will read the next bill. We have a quorum.
Senate Bill 5533 relating to Financial Administration, the Department of State Police, appropriating money and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5533A. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, before I get into the specifics of this budget, I think it's important to pause and give some attention to the importance of this moment and this vote today for our state. Today we have an opportunity to vote for what I believe will be viewed as one of our most important accomplishments this legislative session, to begin to reinvest in our public safety and the important work of the Oregon State Police. For too long, our dedicated public safety officers have continued to serve and protect the public under increasingly difficult and strained circumstances. In an earlier debate this session, we all saw a chart demonstrating the dramatic decline over the last 16 years in the number of state troopers patrolling Oregon's state highways. Over the last 16 years, many in this body objected as the House slashed funding for our state police year after year, to the point that state trooper force bottomed out during the previous biennium at half its size from 20 years earlier. 24/7 patrols were eliminated. Traffic fatalities increased to more than 500 a year, and Oregon's meth epidemic exploded. We can't fix 16 years of cut after cut after cut in public safety, not to mention education, health care, and senior services. We can't fix all of that in six short months, but we can get a long way there. The Senate has already adopted this budget on a unanimous vote. Many of us, including many House Democrats, made a promise to fund at least 100 additional state troopers And today, it's my hope that we will all join together as the legislative body our constituents want us to be to make good on that promise. 100 more state troopers will help stop the flow of meth into the state from super labs outside Oregon. It will help crack down on drunk driving and traffic fatalities on highways, aggressively pursue sophisticated identity theft rings, and go after sexual predators. Senate Bill 5533, as amended, is the budget bill for the state police. This agency has a variety of responsibilities, which include enforcing traffic safety laws on state roads, operating the only full-service forensic lab in the system in the state, assisting local public safety agencies in drug and major crime investigations, maintaining information on fingerprints and criminal background checks, and enforcing fish and game regulations. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends a 2007-09 budget for the Oregon State Police of $217.4 million of general fund and a total funds budget of $327 million. Major features of the budget include the following: 100 new trooper positions for the patrol division phased in during the biennium. All of these positions will be available for day-to-day patrol functions. 7 new dedicated positions for the criminal division to investigate ID theft crimes and drug-related crimes. 15 new positions for the forensics lab system. And $1.1 million included to address the backlog of samples for DNA testing. Major investments in department-wide staffing infrastructure, including dispatch, evidence technicians, trade maintenance workers, field support staff, desktop computer support, and fiscal services. 4 new positions for recruiting new troopers and the ongoing training needs of agency staff. Resources for the Law Enforcement Data System, or LEDS, to retain federal certification. Without these resources, the state is at risk of losing federal grant funding for public safety. Investments in the Office of State Fire Marshal, including funding for hazmat team equipment and training, information system improvements, staff training, and funding for safer cigarette testing. Funding is included to continue the development of the Oregon Wireless Interoperability Network, or OWIN. 16 limited-duration positions financed with $3 million general fund and $3.8 million of certificates of participation proceeds are established for providing better cost estimates for the project, working on the next planning phase of the project, working with local and federal agencies in partnering and ventures that will reduce the state's share of the project, developing RFPs for the project, and identifying tower sites. A budget note instructs the agency to meet a number of reporting requirements prior to requesting resources for the construction of the OWIN project, most likely during the planned 2008 session. The recommended budget also assumes the transfer of the Office of Emergency Management to the Oregon Military Department. It also assumes the transfer to the military department, those grants and staff of the Criminal Justice Services Division related to Homeland Security. Grant programs and staff related to public safety programs are retained within the state police or transferred to the Department of Justice. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5533 as amended. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Richardson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House rules be suspended and the figure on line 9 of Senate Bill 5533 be increased by $4,137,625 to enable an additional 39 troopers to be hired so that we can have 24/7 coverage on Oregon highways.
President Richardson moves that the rules be suspended and to amend the bill on the floor. It is not a debatable motion. Those of the opinion that the rules should be suspended to amend bill on the floor of the House should vote aye. Those opposed, Representative Scott requests a call of the House. He is joined by Representative Gallum, Representative Thatcher, Representative Nelson, Representative Butler, and Representative Morgan. The doorkeeper will bar the doors. Sergeant of Arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Garrard. Garrard Gelzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Conk. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Not answering. Garrard. Excuse. Not subject to the call. 2. Boquist. Hannah.
All members are present. Under Rule 2.10, 40 votes are required to suspend any rule. Those opinion the motion should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll. Will open the voting system. Representative Riley votes no. The motion, having failed to receive the required 40 votes, is declared failed. Further discussion, Representative Krieger.
Mr. Speaker, this is to the bill itself.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I spent 28 years with that department. And after all the last 5-6 months and during all of our campaigns, we still end up approximately 40 troopers short of 24/7. Our rural counties that lost their forest dollars this last month and will only get a little bit money in return for 1 year are in the process right now of laying off their deputies in about 4 or 5 of the counties. Curry County and Coos County may not have any road deputies. Curry County asked for a state of emergency to the governor because of the lack of any type of enforcement down there, where, you know, right in the county that I live. The lower 100 miles, approximately, Curry County of the coast, it's 75, 80, 90, something, it's around 100 miles because it's clear south of Bannon. You have 3 troopers. That's it on Highway 101. With the sheriff's office now completely reducing their staff down to no road deputies, those people won't even have any backup when they're out there. So we do need more than what we're going to have. Again, we haven't had a funding, dedicated funding source for this agency for nearly 27 years. And this year, with over $2.5 billion additional general fund dollars, they're still not going to be funded to the level that's really required. Even though public safety is one of the 3 mandated constitutional things that we're supposed to fund, I wonder what they think. In August, we celebrated the 75th anniversary of the Oregon State Police. The governor, for 10, 15 minutes, promised 24/7. And many other dignitaries spoke, saying
that they supported 24/7. I was standing next to Representative Olson, and this is what I said. I think you'll recall, maybe. I said, watch, it won't happen. And at that time, I didn't realize how much more money we were going to have. I never dreamed we were going to have that much more. It won't happen. And I was right in August, because we have never made state police funding a priority. We have never made public safety a priority in Oregon. We talk about it. We don't do anything. Most members of the House during our campaigns supported more troopers and 24-hour coverage. We still don't have the 24-hour coverage, and we still don't have dedicated funding. I'm going to support the bill. It's the best we've got now, but I think we could have done better. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I appreciate the opportunity today to discuss what I believe is an issue of paramount importance. Our state police patrols have been hit with devastating cuts over the last 16 years. While campaigning for this office, I accompanied an Oregon State Trooper on patrol and saw firsthand how tightly our public safety resources are stretched. Response times are affected. Vehicles fly down the freeway unchecked at speeds of 90-plus miles per hour. Our ability to crack down on interstate trafficking of meth is diminished. It is time for reinvestment. That is why I, along with my colleagues, pledged last summer to put at least 100 more state troopers on Oregon's highways. We made these commitments knowing we may still fall short of where we ought to be at 24/7 patrols with trooper levels where they were in the early 1990s. But we committed to what is both a significant reinvestment and a realistic commitment we can fulfill. It is time to deliver on that commitment. It is also time for honesty. It is true that we cannot fix 16 years of disinvestment in state police in a single legislative session. It is true that this bill does not provide a permanent or dedicated source of funding for state police. It is true that this bill does not return patrols to the 24/7 level that we need. Most importantly, it is true that we cannot get something, namely a dedicated funding source and 24/7 patrols, for nothing. And to claim that we can is disingenuous. But it is also true that this bill is the first critical step in solving a problem that has long plagued our state and leadership has ignored. I can and will vote for it today for those reasons, but also because I have asked the Legislative Fiscal Office to prepare a special appropriation to fully fund the agency at the level of 24/7 patrols. Our Democratic leadership on Ways and Means has assured me that every effort will be made to find the remaining funds for the additional troopers we need. Some have argued we ought to wait to pass this budget until some dedicated funds are found or until we have a perfect solution. But you know as well as I that perfect solutions are a perfect illusion. And surely no one in this body wants to chance running up against the ticking of the session clock. We should not throw together a budget that may or may not provide 100 or more troopers in the wee hours of the session. Aren't our state police more important than that? And isn't it critical that law enforcement agencies can use a budget passed now to plan for increased patrols? Surely we can all agree that passing this budget now is the least we can do this session to begin to reinvest in our state trooper patrols. The passage of this budget need not foreclose ongoing discussions about long-term funding. I'll be a part of those solutions. I hope you will too. And accordingly, I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 5533A.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, there is no more important function of state government than public safety. For Oregonians to be safe in their homes and in their communities and in this state, public safety is the number one function, the number one issue that we have to face. The need for 24/7 coverage by state police is one that we've talked a long time about. We've got a new complicating issue now in the rural counties of the state as we face the loss of timber dollars, and it's those timber dollars that fuel the general funds of county government and those general funds that cover the cost of sheriff's patrol. As you see the county governments spiraling down as they lose their funding, the main impact is going to be in law enforcement, in sheriff's deputies going away. The need for 24/7 coverage in the rural areas of the state is apparent and very clear and very important. I appreciate very much the discussion in the full Ways and Means Committee, where the members of that committee were very clear in directing the agency to place this increase of 100 new troopers into the areas of the state where they are primarily needed, into the rural areas of the state. And there are good things in this budget. I very much appreciate the investments into the administrative function of the department, the investments into information systems, the investments into the forensics lab and into the detectives division. Those are all very important and very much needed things. But colleagues, that doesn't minimize the need for 24/7 enforcement on our highways. We're in a place right now in the state of Oregon. This session gives us an incredible opportunity that we haven't had before during the time that I've served here. We have more than 20% more revenue to spend this time around. We have more than $2.5 billion, that's B as in billion, to spend. We need less than $4.2 million added to this budget to get us to 24/7 coverage. And colleagues, though there are great things in this budget, it is, I think, a heartbreaking break with a covenant that we've clearly made with Oregonians that we would restore 24/7 coverage. I'll support this budget because it is a good investment in the state's future, but it is a very, very sad thing that we're going to leave this session without restoring 24/7 trooper coverage.
Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise today to share a few mixed emotions. I mentioned about my attitude on this House floor a couple of weeks ago, and a quote from my favorite movie, one of my favorite movies, Remember the Titans, about attitude and about leadership. I sit on the Public Safety Committee, subcommittee, and we heard this budget, actually worked this budget on May 14th. After hours and hours of testimony, hours of looking at crime labs, ride-alongs, lots of activities, knowing that we needed 24/7 coverage in the state of Oregon, knowing that we had, at that time, somewhere around $2.5 billion more revenue, and I say additional revenue, than we had last session. On May 14th, I voted for that budget. I had a yes vote, with the statement that if more revenue became available, it should be a high priority that we fund this $4.1 some odd million dollars to provide the 39 additional troopers that we need to get going. Not a coincidence, but the next day was May 15th. Revenue forecast came out. $180.3 million in additional revenue over what the previous forecast had said. I hold in my hand a letter dated May 16th to the co-chairs explaining my vote on Ways and Subways and Means Committee, and that based on a May 15th forecast, we have an additional revenue of $180.3 million, and only a little bit of that needed to go to fund 24/7 coverage of the state troopers. But let's be specific about how much money we're talking about here. We can throw a number out. We can throw a percentage out, as I do in my business practice. And I think the public and sometimes our employees or wherever that, their eyes, they're glazed over because they really don't get the numbers. So let's relate this number to the citizen in the state of Oregon. We need $4.137625. That is $1.21 per citizen. $1.21 per citizen in the state of Oregon is what we're talking about here today, that we could have made a decision and moved on and taken care of this issue. Currently, we spend K through 12 budget per citizen $2,700. Department Corrections, a little under $400 per citizen, about $380 per citizen in Department of Corrections. And Health and Human Services, total funds budget for every citizen in the state, we spend almost $3,000, $2,941 per citizen in the state of Oregon. All we needed was $1.21. Colleagues, I will be voting for this budget today, but we could have had the 24/7 coverage taken care of, as the citizens of this state expect. And the revenue is already here, and all it was $1.21 per citizen to have these troopers on the road.
Further discussion, Representative Olson.
Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I appreciate this opportunity to share with you. I spent, as Representative Krieger mentioned, his 28 years. I spent one additional year, 29 years with the state police. And this month has been 4 years ago that I left. It seems sometimes longer. Sometimes it seems like it wasn't that long ago when I travel up and down the roads and wish I was still in a patrol car to help put someone on the incentive program. But I am going to vote yes for this bill. I'm not happy with the bill. I don't think it gets us to where we need to be for 24-hour coverage. Of my 29 years with the state police, I started in Albany as a trooper. I spent 11 years there. During that time period, I saw Albany have as high as 28 troopers between the Sweet Home Outpost and the Albany Patrol Office. On the other side of the river, over in Benton County, Corvallis had a patrol office. There were 14 members assigned to patrol division over there. Today, Corvallis is gone as of 1993, and the Sweet Home Outpost is gone. There are basically about 200,000 people between the two counties. You see in the neighborhood of about 70,000 cars travel every day up and down I-5 underneath Highway 20 on Interstate 5. They have the Albany Patrol Office today has, I believe it's either 8 or 9 members that are assigned patrol to cover that. If I cross over back over into Benton County, and we talk about 24-hour coverage, you see the sheriff's office in Benton County now, because of the lack of manpower that they have over there, are now less than 24-hour coverage and are back to 20 hours. And there's no need for me to identify what time period that they're on the road. But there's not an office in the state today for the state police that has 24-hour coverage. I returned back to the Albany Patrol Office in 1998 as the lieutenant, the station commander there. And during that time period, that office had 16 members assigned to the patrol division to cover 2 counties. Having a little bit of knowledge of patrol allocation, did some shifting with patrol shifts, and we were able to cover 24-hour coverage again. Why? Because I felt that it was extremely important for the public to have that feel that there is safety out there, especially on the I-5 corridor and some of the other major arterials. We are not there today. Again, I mentioned to you once, weeks back, in a remonstrance, if I were a trooper today, I would look at this body and I would say that you do not care. 100 troopers is a good start, but it does not provide the 24-hour coverage that we need. We have the opportunity as a body to get there this session now with the dollars that have been provided us. But there is a stubbornness that will not that prevents us from getting there. So I close with that, with this thought. I guess, bottom line, the policy that maybe you should consider, since we're not going to extend the dollars for additional troopers to get us to the 24-hour coverage, what hours within that 24-hour period would you like to have vacant so you can travel up and down and not feel safe?
Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. You know, last year, many of us made campaign promises. We said Oregon needs 24/7 coverage. Senate Bill 5533 breaks several of these campaign promises made last year. This OSP budget does not provide enough troopers to keep our highways safe at all hours of the day and night. Senate Bill 5533 does not give us enough troopers to stop the heavy flow of meth that runs through our state. It does not fund enough troopers to locate and apprehend the criminals stealing Oregonians' identities. This budget does not strengthen the patrol division enough to curb the increasing traffic fatalities and accidents. Senate Bill 5533 does not give our patrol division troopers the backup they need to arrest and confront these dangerous criminals. The House needs to come clean today that it is passing an inferior bill, an inadequate state police budget that does not fund enough troopers to close the gaps. Oregonians don't want empty campaign promises. We just passed up another opportunity to do the right thing and ensure 24/7 coverage, the coverage that Oregonians demanded of us and we promised to deliver. Just think about that.
Further discussion, Representative Bruin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, public safety at every level of government is not where we spend the most money. Look at the federal government. We spend, obviously, hundreds of billions of dollars on our national defense, yet it is not where we spend the most money. The same is obviously true for the state. We spend far more on education and human services than we do on public safety. Yet, as has been said, public safety at every level of government, at the city, at the county, and the state, is the most important thing that government does. And I would argue that any failure to adequately provide public safety is a fundamental failure of government. Mr. Speaker, I think this bill is that.
It is a fundamental failure of government. We had an obligation to the people of Oregon that we have not met. We have left the people of Oregon unprotected. Yes, this gets us part of the way there, but part of the way to full public safety cannot be considered a success, Mr. Speaker. It is with a heavy heart that I will be supporting this bill.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Request consent for a visual aid.
Representative Esquivel, request unanimous consent for use of visual aid. Is there an objection? Hearing none, please go ahead.
Colleagues, I've heard so many times in this now, in this chamber, about the last 16 years. The last 16 years, the demise of the Oregon State Troopers. Look at this chart, folks. This is the only bipartisan demise of an organization that I've seen in my life. I don't care what party you're with. You're guilty. Fact. Having said that, I'm going to give you some statistics. In 1976, Jackson County had 40 troopers. 1976, Josephine County had 35 troopers. Congratulations, folks. Today, Jackson County has 11. Josephine County has 8. We've done a remarkable job, haven't we? 30 years in the making. But we've pretty much been able to run this organization completely in the ground. Everyone that's talked here almost today has talked about this is not good, but we're going to support it. This is not the proper way, but we're going to support it. Why do we have to support this? If we're not going to do this right, why are we doing it at all? Are we going to continue to derail this organization? So we don't have 139 troopers, so that means that we will not have 24/7 coverage. So let's just make sure the criminals come between 2 and 6 a.m., just like they have in the past. They can run their drugs. You can get off of the bar at 2:30. You can go home, and chances are you will not be stopped or checked for a DUI. Congratulations with this bill. We'll do it again. Josephine County has given 43 deputies their pink slips because of ONC loss of revenue. It may come about, we're hoping. But who's going to backfill those places when the ONC funds do stop? We'd better gear this organization up, and we'd better show some leadership, and we as an organization, as a legislative body, supposedly with good leadership, should come forth, and we need to up our trooper strength at least by a minimum of 300 to 400 in a long-range plan. The other disturbing thing in Josephine County, the sale of guns are up immensely because people know they will not have deputies. But more importantly, they know they won't have state police there either. Why? Because since 1976, we have continued to erode this organization to the point of where it's almost incompetent. I think that we, as people, we, as Oregonians, need to look at the picture as a whole. Are we going to stand here and say, this is not a good bill, but I'm going to support it. This is a good bill. It should go. This is a start. Whatever we say. Does it fix the problem? Ask yourself. I ask myself that, and the answer is no. It doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of the problem. Where's the additional 300 or 400 besides this 100 to kind of get it back to its 1980 some level? Of course, the population of Oregon has jumped 40% since 1976, and we've actually eroded our state troopers from 641, and today we're currently at 263. That's progress, folks. That's great progress. I do hope that each and every one of you considers this, because this is not a good bill. This is not a good budget. Parts of it are, but more importantly, the patrol part is awful. This is not a good budget. I do hope that you do an aye vote. And if we're going to do something, let's do it right.
Further discussion, Representative Dallum.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Much has been said, and I hope not to repeat. I don't have the numbers that some of you have, but I do want to tell you about the Oregon State Police in House District 59 generally and on Highway 89 and 189 specifically. It has been said that we are reinvesting in the state police. Let me take you to Highway 89 late at night. There are no state police. This is known by some of my colleagues and some of my constituents as the meth trail. With the passage of this budget, we are doing everything we can to preserve the meth trail in Oregon. Ride with me in those early hours, and you'll see how unsmart you have to be to move meth straight through Oregon, only stopping for enough drop-offs to serve Oregon. I have voted for every attempt to fund this budget for 24/7 from the general fund. I will be voting yes on this bill with the sick feeling in my stomach that this was the best we could do to put troops on Highway 89 now. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Hunt.
To the bill?
To the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think there are two things that are especially important to remember about this budget. First of all, this does make good on the promise that many of us did make to deliver at least 100 state troopers back to our highways. After all these years of disinvestment, and my good friend from Medford, pick one period in time, you can pick a whole variety of periods of time. It's been true for a lot of years. It's been true for the last 16 years. It's been true for the last 4 years that I've been in the legislature. I remember vividly standing here 2 years ago with a very different budget than this that actually cut 20 additional state troopers, and many of us stood up and voted no on that budget. This budget says very clearly, as it did 2 years ago, in cutting troopers 2 years ago, this budget says very clearly on page 4, the package as approved provides 100 new patrol troopers. 100 new troopers. A beginning, finally, to the march back to adequacy. We do need 24/7 coverage. We can get 24/7 coverage. Unfortunately, we need 36 votes to do that. My good friend from Medford is ready. I'm ready. Many of us are ready. Let's get it done. But even if that doesn't happen, we have the assurance today that we will get at least 100 troopers. I also commend the Ways and Means Committee for getting out a budget with great speed. If you just look back at the sessions that I've experienced, in 2005, we didn't pass the OSP budget until July 1st, and at that point, we cut 100 troopers. I voted no. In 2003, the OSP budget was not passed until July 23rd. In 2001, it wasn't passed until June 21st. So here we are, colleagues, on May 29th, passing a budget that is early, that adds back 100 state troopers. It does not get us all the way back to where we need to be, but it's a huge step forward, and it's the first step forward that this legislature will have made in many years.
Further discussion, Representative Flores.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, public safety is a core function of government. And core functions of government are funded with resources that government brings in from taxpaying citizens' dollars. Recovery in a time when those revenues come in excess of what has been in the past means the economy is doing well. Recovery means we're making up for ground that was lost when the economy was not doing well, when it was the greatest recession in this nation, this state's history, and it took a long time to get back here. So let's not confuse why we are in recovery. It's because the economy sank, and this legislature had to make those tough choices on a core function of government. But now, with billions of dollars to spend this biennium, and let me use Representative Richardson's billions of dollars to spend in the biennium, it's unfortunate we're considering a budget that underfunds the Oregon State Police. The legislature has a responsibility to ensure that troopers are always available to fight crime and assist people who need help. I have friends in urban areas who don't understand that particular problem, the problem that those in the suburbs or those people in the rural areas have to deal with on a daily and ongoing basis. So it's a little bit of a puzzlement to them as to why we're even having this discussion about Oregon State Police 24/7 coverage. While this bill will improve trooper coverage in some areas, many parts of Oregon will continue to lack troopers. While this bill will improve response time in some locations, many Oregonians will continue to face long waiting times for assistance. Actually, we just had the opportunity to add back 39 troopers to this package, but this body said no. Over the past few days, Oregon experienced its deadliest Memorial Day weekend in 25 years. And these casualties happened when there were more troopers on our roads and highways than usual. We don't know how many lives could have been saved with more troopers on the road. The legislature can do better. Oregonians deserve better. They deserve better response times to accidents, other emergencies, yes, and to follow that meth trail. We cannot be satisfied until we've restored 24/7 Oregon State Police coverage throughout our state. This bill falls significantly short of 139 troopers, 24/7 coverage. I offer reluctant support to this bill. It is not enough, and again, we can and should do better.
Further discussion, Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. You've heard from my colleagues about all the problems with not enough police out there, particularly in these counties that are dependent on federal funds that may or may not show up. I want to bring another aspect. Currently, we kill one person every 18 hours on our highways. I think that's unacceptable. It's ridiculous, and I feel that 24/7 would lower that death rate. I urge an aye vote, even though the bill is inadequate.
Further discussion, Representative Burley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I also had the pleasure of doing a ride-along last Labor Day weekend, and you know, there's a lot of things I'd like to see us work on with state police, the radio systems. You know, in our area, the more rural parts of the state, the trooper I was with said that they'll get in these high-speed chases, and the people they're chasing will jump off the highways and get onto these Forest Service roads. The next thing you know, they're not only out of cell phone range, but they're out of radio contact, and he's out there all by himself, no backup, no sheriff, nobody. So there's all sorts of issues I think we need to work with here. This bill, I will be supporting this bill today. As others before me have said, there's a lot of really, really good things in this bill. For example, the forensics or crime lab that the state police have in the city of Bend is the only one on the east side of the mountains. And it's very important to us to have that there, because if you have a crime scene, for example, that's outdoors, in order to be able to preserve the evidence at the crime scene, if you got to wait for somebody to come from this side of the mountains, I mean, you're talking hours. And if it's a crime scene that's outdoors and you got a storm that's coming along and it's going to start raining, you lose the evidence. So having that crime lab over on the east side is very important to us, and I certainly appreciate the funding that's in this bill for that. But at the same time, we don't want to compromise the public safety of our constituents by passing a budget such as this that does not provide adequate trooper coverage on our highways. Now, I'll be supporting this bill because it funds 100 new troopers. However, it's clear that we need 140 new troopers to achieve the 24/7 coverage on our highways. While SB 5533 provides additional resources to other Oregon State Police divisions, as I said earlier, there's still more work to be done in the patrol division portion of this budget. So we can't be satisfied until we have the best public safety system possible. Anything less than round-the-clock trooper coverage is simply unacceptable. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill?
To the bill.
Colleagues, first of all, I'd like to take just a moment to thank the members of the committee for their hard work in providing this level, at least, of desperately needed funding for our state police. The cuts that have plagued the Oregon State Police for the last 16 years have had a distinctly devastating impact on rural communities throughout the state, a fact upon which apparently we all agree. To the good representative from Clackamas, Damascus, Boring, and Estacada, I thought maybe I could help a little bit with her responses to those folks in the urban areas that raised some questions about our rural communities. In my rural district, over half of the residents live in the unincorporated areas, outside of municipalities and outside the jurisdiction of city law enforcement. They depend on the services of the Oregon State Police and the County Sheriff's Department for their basic public safety needs. As the numbers on the forces have declined, response times have gone up considerably. Imagine, if you will, the time it can take one state police officer on patrol to travel the 55 miles from one end of Lincoln County to the other for an emergency call, and you begin to see the magnitude of the problems we're facing. As the numbers on the forces have declined, meth, and especially the trafficking of meth, has exploded. And numbers here make a very real difference. Even if a state trooper suspects a driver of trafficking meth, a lone officer is unable to conduct a search of the car. If he or she is the only one on patrol, the potential trafficker gets a free pass. Another point that many folks don't consider is that for those of us in the coastal communities and other parts of the state highways, in my case, Highway 101, are often the main streets of our small towns. As numbers of the force have declined, our highways and main streets have been under-patrolled by too few individuals who cannot possibly be in all places at all times, no matter how committed and honorable their service. As a result, drunk driving and traffic fatalities have risen, particularly along the winding sections of Highway 101. As I've said publicly before, I share many of the concerns that we've heard here today. Folks, this is a tough problem, and it's not going to be solved by one budget in one legislative session. I recognize there's more work to do, but I'm pleased that this budget goes a long way towards bolstering the public safety in my district and in dozens of other rural districts across the state. It's critically important for our communities, and I urge the aye vote on Senate Bill 5533.
Further discussion, Representative Girard.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I'm going to be one of a handful of people that vote no on this. I've heard everyone say that this is a good start, but it's inadequate. Well, if it's inadequate, like the representative from Medford says, it's real simple. Vote no. The governor, in his logic, he wanted 24/7 coverage, and in his budget, he allowed for 24/7 coverage. So it's important enough to the governor to have 24/7 coverage, but it's not important enough for this body. Now, we say, well, when times are good, we're going to impose 24/7. It doesn't get any better than this in the budget. We got a $2.5 billion surplus from last biennium, and if that wasn't enough, we got another gift of $152 million in the May forecast. So if now is not the time, when is going to be the time? And lastly, I'd like to include that I did try to bring a bill forward in my district,
that wouldn't allow sex offenders to be placed where there's not 24/7 coverage. That's a real problem in my district. So 24/7 coverage is paramount for me. And finally, I'd like to just tell you about a blog that was in the Statesman Journal when I tried to bring up the 24/7 coverage. It came from my district, said you had more chance of being eaten by a cougar than you do seeing a cop. The guy wrote back afterwards and says, well, not only that, but you have more chance of being burned by a wildfire by inappropriate forest management than seeing a cop. So I'm going to be voting no. I'm really kind of cheesed off at this budget. It's not enough. It's easy to fix. We got tons of money. We're gush with money. We don't need tax increases. That's a farce. And we can just pony up and fund the state cops now.
Further discussion, Representative Butler.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you. And I would like to thank my colleague from San Yam Valley. I think he's convinced me. I've told a number of you this at the early on in this session, that you would get sick and tired of hearing that I represent Oregon's largest House district, Oregon's largest piece of real estate in this legislative assembly, and in that 25% of the landmass of the state of Oregon. I wish I had as many state troopers as one of our colleagues has indicated he had in one of his southern Oregon counties. But if wishes were horses, beggars would ride, and I guess I'm wanting give you my wishes here today. Inadequate funding for Oregon State Police and Oregon State Troopers is like asking them to jump the Grand Canyon and then promising the funding to do so in two leaps. We never had more availability of resources than we presently enjoy in our budget today. And to follow my colleague from San Yam Valley, if not now, when? And if not within these resources, then with what new additions? And I need to know the answers to those questions if we are truly going to overcome the meth highways that we've got transporting meth in and through this state.
Further discussion, Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, we have a bill before us which will increase the number of troopers, and all of that is very good. It does many fine things. But we have an opportunity to assure that we have 24/7 coverage for our state. And the cost for that, as we've heard, was $4.1 million, which represents 0.1% of the total budget. We should not, we must not, we cannot allow this session to end without fully funding 24/7 coverage for our major highways. We will vote this bill today, but the session is not over. And it will not take tax increases for us to come up with $4.1 million to show the people of Oregon that we do put as a top priority the protection of our citizens. So we pass this bill, but we must come back to this issue before this session is over and assure that we provide the coverage that Oregonians deserve.
Further discussion, Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill?
To the bill.
Yesterday, I had an opportunity to spend some time with one of Oregon's finest who works out of Portland. He's down in my area, neck of the woods. We had a long conversation about state troopers and what they mean to this state. And something that I did not know was the state of Washington, and I just verified this number, has on the order of 825 state troopers compared to our 263 or thereabouts. And if you double the population of the state of Oregon compared to the state of Washington, we don't even come close to that. It's with a heavy heart that I will support this bill. I believe that it is completely inadequate for the safety and security of this state. And I hope that we can come back by the end of the session, add more troopers, and be more consistent with our neighbors to the north, who realize that protection of their citizens is their number one priority. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Kremel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes,
she does.
Thank you, Representative. There's been a lot of talk today about the addition of 100 new troopers. Can you tell me where in the bill it has that written in there, that they will, that the department is directed to hire 100 new troopers?
It's not in the bill. It's assumed in the budget that was prepared for the subcommittee and for Ways and Means to review.
Thank you, Representative. Additional questions?
Additional questions. Does the carrier yield?
I'll take one more.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. You mentioned that it's in the, it's assumed and it's in the narrative. Could the department or the governor say, you know, I decided I don't like what's in the narrative here. So we're going to change this and ignore what our assumption is?
As with many agency budgets, with the legislature not in the position of micromanaging every department, it is possible for some department heads to put resources where they think they are best used. And in this budget, just like many agency budgets, we are leaving it to the wisdom of the superintendent to allocate those resources where they are most needed to protect public safety.
Thank you. Additional question?
I believe the carrier said one more, but I will ask her. Will you yield to another question?
I will take one last question.
She does.
Thank you, Madam Speaker and Representative. Can the department, or was there a discussion in committee, and did the department testify to the fact that can the department hire, train, and put on the road 100 new officers, troopers, before the end of the next biennium? And what do the other 733.4 people do that are in the department?
Just a moment, and I'll get the notes about the staffing. Yes, the department is able to put troopers on the road. If we can pass this budget bill today and send a clear signal that we believe in ramping up the force by 100 troopers and start improving public safety, that's a clear signal for them to go, all full speed ahead and start the important recruiting and training. Yes, there is a plan that demonstrates that they can put them on the road quickly. Perhaps we would see them as early as this fall. I believe that they could all be on the road by the end of the biennium, or nearly all, but that plan has been shared with individuals. And the second part of the question was about where all those people work. The hundreds of positions. We are restoring scientists to the crime lab. Let me read some figures for you here. Now, this is from the adopted budget, and so there would be for the current biennium, but just to give you an idea of how many positions there are in the various areas of the department, there are currently 322 sworn positions in patrol, 119 fish and wildlife, 109 criminal division, 15 forensics. Now those would be, 37 in gaming, but there are many other professional positions in addition to those. The total number of positions, for example, in information management, a little over 100. forensics, once you add the sworn plus the professional, that's 109. There are quite a few positions in this department to support the work of the troopers that we put on the road. We want those troopers to have the equipment and the staffing necessary to keep the public safe and to keep the troopers safe. They've got to have the communications, the crime lab. We have to be able to solve crimes as well as identify and stop crime. We need to interdict and prevent as well as then prosecute later. So there are many positions that are necessary to support the work of the troopers that are on the road protecting us.
Thank you.
To the bill.
To the bill.
There's a saying that Yogi Berra has. It's deja vu all over again. And you say, well, why is it deja vu all over again? Well, for those of you that weren't here, but yet are complaining about the last 16 years, in 1999, we passed the budget for the Oregon State Police for 100 new officers. And then the predecessor to the guy we now have in the center office of this building, who I understand is soon to be evicted, decided that the dollar should go somewhere else, and the superintendent of the department decided that the dollars should go somewhere else, and during the biennium, only 25 new officers were hired and trained and put on the road. That is precisely why I asked the question I asked about where in the bill does it direct the department. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the budget narrative, all 17 pages of it, is very good and very detailed. But you know what? The governor can say, nah, don't feel like doing that. Or the superintendent can say, nah, don't feel like doing that. And I will tell you that after 10 years, it is really aggravating to have departments. We work in here to pass budgets, and they come and they suck up to us because they want whatever it is that they want. And then after we go home, they go out and do whatever the hell it is they want to do anyway. And it's really aggravating. I am so sick and tired of hearing about the last 16 years and how this and that happened and something else happened. Well, let's not forget there was somebody else in the center office. And for all 16 of those years, to some of us, budgeting has been a mere exercise in futility. Let's not talk about the last 16 years. Let's talk about the present. Let's not talk about 1999. Let's talk about the present. I have an expectation in voting in favor of this bill today that the Department of State Police is going to go out and hire 100 new officers. And as far as I'm concerned, they damn well better do it. And if they don't, it will become very difficult for me to support their budget again, just like it did after the 1999 session. In 2001, it was very difficult for me to support their budget request. It was difficult because, quite frankly, I felt lied to. They had no intention of hiring 100 new officers. That was what I thought. The governor had no intention of hiring 100 new officers. He just wanted the money into his personal slush fund so he could spread it out somewhere else and do something else with the money. I have an expectation that there will be 432 sworn officers on the roads in the state of Oregon by June 30th of 2009. That's my expectation. What's unfortunate about all of this is that in sort of figuring this out, and the numbers that the good representative from Eugene gave us with regards to, do you realize that in the budget bill, or excuse me, in the narrative, there are 1,000, I want to make sure I get this right, 1,304 positions. 432 are officers. That's 27% for the public safety. I have a little problem with that, but I will vote yes.
Further discussion, Representative Minnis.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Bye, honey. Have a good day. I hope you come home alive. I lived like that for 27 years, ladies and gentlemen. 27 years. Sent my husband out the door, hoping that he lived through the day. You don't know what a weight that is in the back of your mind until he no longer has to be out on the street anymore. You wonder if he's going to come home at night. I think you've heard me tell the story on this floor about some of his experiences. Heard me talk about him being shot at and have knives thrown at him and being involved in domestic violence situations. Had a 14-year-old boy that shot at him with a gun in his car. Somebody had to kill the young man in order to keep the police from dying. That young man died in his arms. John came home and cried that day. There is a cost, ladies and gentlemen, a personal cost that the men and women who go out every day, they strap on a gun, put their hats on, they get in their car, put their personal lives on hold, and they go out and pay a very high personal price to keep us safe, to keep our communities safe. So every day, I would send him out and hope with my heart in my throat that he was going to come home at the end of his shift. And sometimes he was in situations that I didn't hear for a while what he was doing or why he couldn't come home. And I'll tell you, the fear that gripped my spirit was almost palpable. But you know what the difference is? He worked in a city department. He worked for the city of Portland. And I knew that he had other officers around to back him up. And that was very comforting. Ladies and gentlemen, we are asking troopers that oftentimes have to cover a lot of area to go out and not be assured that they will always have that backup. And we're asking their families to send them out the door and wondering if they're going to come home at night. And we're saying that's okay. It's not okay. I am pleased that we're getting 100 troopers. I am. Because I don't want to have to look at another widow or a child that's lost their sight. Sorry, excuse me. A child that's lost their parent. High price. And if they happen to live long enough to survive the job, there are
consequences for the things they see every day and the things we ask them to do. This isn't political, ladies and gentlemen. These are about real people with real lives that go out there every day, not because we even think about it, but because that's their job, and they believe in civil service. They believe that keeping our communities safe, they believe they matter. They believe what they do is important, that they're contributing to the safety of our communities, to our children, to our seniors. They believe in that. I'm pleased we have the 100. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to have to be...
Representative Beckley yields.
Thank you, Representative. I don't want to have to look at one of these family members and say we had an opportunity to do better, and we made the choice not to. We could have done better. But I am pleased with the 100. I will support this bill. But not just the safety of our communities, but for the safety of the officers themselves who risk their lives every day. I'm hoping, Madam Speaker, by the end of this session that we can improve upon this number. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, it's about their lives as well. Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I'm going to vote for this bill. It's time the facts are straight on OSP funding and Senate Bill 5533. To correct the carrier of this bill, it's been 28 years, not 16, since Oregon State Police began experiencing cuts, spanning the terms of several Democratic governors and Democratic speakers. And to correct the majority leader from Clackamas County, didn't quite get his facts straight or correct, we did not reduce in 05, 100 troopers. We actually added troopers. I was co-chair. I know it very well. It's a nice try, but we didn't cut it. The representative from Hillsborough, you've had the opportunity to vote for 139 troopers, 24/7 coverage. In fact, you've had that opportunity 7 times. It didn't reach the level of priority for that to be done. You had the opportunity about 45 minutes ago to do that. It would have only taken a little over 2.7% of the increased May forecast to provide 39 additional troopers. The good representative from Hillsborough, it didn't reach his priority list to do it. With over $2.5 billion, actually it's almost $2.7 billion, the legislature had the opportunity to go even further and fully restore the cuts of the past. They don't want to. Thanks to a recovering economy that all of the folks will try and take credit for, we began to reverse these cuts last session. And we added more troopers. Additionally, during the previous interim, we added more troopers. Even with the $152 million in the May forecast, you can't find a measly $4.2 million to raise your priority to fund another 39 and reach 24/7 coverage. speak the facts. You don't want to. You don't want to do that. Don't try and sugarcoat it and say, I want to do it. I just can't. $2.7 billion is a ton of money that you can't find $4.1 to do 24/7 coverage. Don't go back to your districts and say, I tried. I tried my hardest. I just couldn't find another $4.2 million. God, did I try. Instead, this bill shows the legislature is passing. Yeah, we're passing. Hold your nose and vote for it. To strengthen state police this biennium and for future biennium. You ain't going to get another chance to have $2.7 billion more dollars to do it with. So don't take that lousy $4.2 million that all of us would love to have. Don't take that and raise the police coverage to 24/7. Have the gutsy thing, have the courage to only do 100 and throw the other $4.2 million away. Toss it away. The bottom line is this budget shortchanges the patrol division and fails to get 24/7 coverage, and we're all going to be part of it because we don't have the guts to find $4.2 million. To do what every Oregonian out there wants us to do and put 24/7 coverage on the street. Push the green button and show you don't have the guts.
Further discussion, Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I didn't plan to speak today, colleagues, but I sat here and listened, and I got disgusted. I'm not going to talk about 27 years or 16 years because I wasn't here, but I was here last session and I'm here this session. On July 1st of last session, we had a budget on the floor of this House for the Oregon State Police, which cut 20 troopers. No matter what anybody says, that's what the budget did last session. It cut 20 troopers. That bill passed 33-26. I voted no to cutting 20 troopers. This session, I'm voting yes. I'm doing it proudly. We're going to add 100 troopers. We're going to put back 5 times the number of troopers we cut last session. I hope we can do it again next session. Thank you very much.
Further discussion, Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you. Colleagues, as I've listened to the discussion today, and as I've listened to the discussion on this floor over the last several weeks, I continue to become puzzled as we talk about the revenues that are available to us. Just a few minutes ago, the House Republican leader was talking about the additional $2.6 billion which are available to fund our services this session. I've also heard all of us talk about the things that are very important to us, from 24/7 coverage on the roads from our state troopers to an adequate investment in our K-12 schools, the importance of investing in our community colleges and higher ed, and the very critical needs that we've heard in our human services committees and our human service budget. I cannot figure out how all of these things add up. On the list have been corrections, K-12, higher ed, community colleges, Head Start, state troopers, a $230 million capital gains tax cut, a $42 million estate tax cut. And all of this comes back to there's plenty of money to do this and to fund health coverage for all Oregon children because we have $2.5 billion of additional funds available to us. In fact, I keep hearing we have over a 20% increase in our revenues available from last session. So as we sat here on the floor, I pulled out my laptop and looked up the revenue forecast to refresh my memory from when we received that a few weeks ago. And indeed, it says that in the 2009-11 biennium, we will have a 21.8% increase over the 2007-2009 biennium. However, it goes on to say that the growth is exaggerated due to the $1.2 billion in personal income tax kicker refunds currently projected for 2007-2009. Excluding these refunds, growth would equal 10.8%. It does not go on to explain that we also lose the flexibility of the $300 million, a little over $300 million plus, that we're putting into our rainy day fund, as well as about $20 million that we're putting into the small business kicker. All of that leaves us with slightly less than $1 billion in additional revenues than we had last legislative session. With that, those dollars, we need to fund our roll-up costs, the essential budget level of our programs, and then we need to look at those places for new investments. In that type of a scenario, I don't see how even $4.2 million is a measly sum of money. I know that if I were to go to a town hall meeting and refer to $4.2 million as a measly sum of money, my constituents would be pretty unhappy with me. So I've puzzled with hearing that we are inadequately funding so many of these services, including state troopers. Where are we going to get the money to pay for that and the less than $1 billion that are available to us from that surplus? And this morning, it became clear to me, and I guess I just leave this question hanging out there. Could it be that my colleagues across the aisle are proposing that we don't send Oregonians their $1.2 billion in personal kickers? I would not support that, but I'm curious to learn more from my colleagues about why they may in order to fund all of these wishes. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
And I would like to give a personal thanks to the representative from District 49 for a very personal story there. I really appreciated that. And the representative from Wilsonville reminded me of some things when he talked about statistics. I've written a lot of police schedules during my 19 years as a sergeant and a few years as a lieutenant in Portland. And when we had a lot of people, we'd schedule our patrolmen to work four shifts of 10 hours a shift. But when we got tight on personnel, we had to go back to 5/8 because it takes about 25% more officers to work a 4/10. And I just say that because at the present time, the Oregon State Police Patrol Division is on a 4/10 shift, and we could come pretty close to 24/7 by going back to 5/8 until we get our numbers built up. But that's up to the superintendent. I don't want to micromanage him. But most of you know that I believe in this issue so fundamentally that I've signed on to virtually every proposal that has been put forth this session that would add state troopers to our highways. I believe there ought to be dedicated funding for state police so that we can make sure that our communities are safe even through the next recession. But I also believe we have to do something now. That's why I hope all of us will continue to work for the long-term solution for our state police, and why I hope we'll all vote aye today. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Everybody else spoke. I might as well, too. To the bill, please. I know a little bit about taking hard, tough votes on this floor that take guts or courage or intelligence or whatever you want to call it. But I, as my friend said earlier, in 03 and 05, we cut back on state police. We have for years. And I don't know where you spin adding more into less. That seems to be a pretty good trick by some folks in this world. I'm not buying it. My constituents aren't buying it. And those gentlemen right up there in the lobby aren't buying it. Up there in the gallery aren't buying it either. We're adding for the first time in I don't know how many years. I think the addition of these numbers, 100, represents, I think, about a 30 or 35% increase in the force. That's greater than the 20% increase in revenue that my friend right behind me just spoke to. You know, I really feel my character and the character of everyone on this body was impugned a moment ago. And it's easy to throw stones when you can't do something. It's easy to stand above a hole with a man down there digging and tell him how to dig. It's easy to sit by and watch somebody do something that you can't do and criticize it. We are doing something positive here today. We are adding to the ranks of state police. And you know what? If we're fortunate enough to have revenues like this in the future, we will continue to. I support finding dedicated funding to this department. I have and I will continue to do so. But sitting there pointing fingers and saying people don't have guts, that's just a bunch of crap, and I ain't going to sit here and listen to it. This is a great bill. I highly urge you, I vote.
Further discussion, Representative Girard.
To the bill, Madam Speaker.
To the bill.
Yesterday, while I was returning to the Capitol, I got pulled over for speeding by an Oregon State policeman. And I had various emotions at the time, knowing that the budget was coming up this morning. But I'll be very honest with you. I had a smile on my face as the trooper walked up to the side of the car and wanted to see the driver's license and the insurance and all that. And I had a smile, and I said, boy, you know, I drive this 232 miles back and forth every weekend since this session began. And yesterday, Memorial Day weekend, I figured there'd be all kinds of police on the road. This was the only police officer I saw in 232 miles. And he got me. Which kind of makes you get that emotional feeling, but think for a moment about the fact that more troopers is good because of the safety factor. More troopers may save your life, may save your child's life or your grandchildren's life. And that's what this is all about, is safety. And while I join my colleagues in wishing it was 24/7, and I've done everything I could do on this floor, I voted everything that could have gotten us 24/7, and it's been defeated. But I will certainly support this bill today because it's going to save lives. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Nathanson, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. There's been a lot of discussion about how much it would cost, how quickly can we get to 24/7. We start now. What does it take to get there? In the original budget recommended to this legislature, there was a new dedicated revenue source. But let's face it, a new revenue source takes 36 votes. There have not been 36 votes to agree on a new revenue source. Not yet. But we need to start now. We need to get those 100 new troopers now. But this vote isn't the end of the work. It's not the end of our work. We will keep talking. There's a subcommittee, Ways and Means Subcommittee, hearing this afternoon to talk about another bill, which many of you have talked about in the past. Discussions can still keep going on about new revenue sources and dedicated revenue sources. Not only do we not have that new revenue source that was in the original recommended budget that we heard about, we've had to account for skyrocketing fuel costs. In fact, in this budget, we had to find about $500,000 additional for fuel costs. That's for patrol, it's for the state troopers, and it's for some other positions too. They're on the road, they've got cars to drive. Those vehicles burn fuel. $500,000 in additional fuel costs was no small matter to carve out of this budget. The subcommittee did not engage in discussion to try to micromanage where, how many, and at what hours of day or what shifts these patrol officers should be added. There has been discussion in the documents that the subcommittee read, in documents available to all members of this body, and in testimony from the department itself. We know that there's interest in adding patrol to the busiest highway corridors. There's interest in adding patrol where local law enforcement coverage is lacking. there's a need for additional presence in the rural areas. The subcommittee also made it clear that they're interested in stemming the flow of drugs coming into Oregon. 100 troopers ramps up the force of troopers by nearly a third in this one bill alone, starting as early as this fall. We're not micromanaging. We know that the superintendent is going to put those troopers where they can do the most good, the location, the hour of day, the shift. We know that those troopers are going to go where they're most needed. Today, we can begin a period of reinvestment in one of Oregon's most important priorities, the safety and security of our families and communities. This is a budget. It's not only about troopers. It's about the state police department. This is a budget for patrolling the highways, for deterring crime, and for solving crime. This is a budget for the support and the equipment those troopers need, and it's the budget for 100 new troopers now. I said earlier, and I'll say again, that by passing this budget, we can make good on an important promise. Adding 100 more state troopers will help stem the flow of meth into the state from the super labs outside of Oregon. It will help crack down on drunk driving and traffic fatalities on our highways. It will help aggressively pursue sophisticated identity theft rings and go after sexual predators. This budget isn't a panacea meant to solve all of the problems associated with Oregon's volatile revenue system in the years past and in years to come. The establishment of a rainy day fund earlier this session, however, will help ensure that this reinvestment is protected in the next economic downturn. And we still have more work to do to identify and pass a real dedicated funding source for state police and return the force to a level that allows for 24/7 patrols everywhere all the time. I'm pleased that so many of my colleagues recognize the value of the additions that we've seen in this budget and the value of adding those troopers now. This is the first step in the right direction, but let's make no mistake about it. This isn't a small step. This is a huge step. It's a significant investment, the only real investment in over a decade. This budget deserves your aye vote. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
The question now arises upon third reading and final pass. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Boone, how do you vote? Representative Boone, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Representative Nolan, excuse for business of the House. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Votes aye. Senate Bill 5533A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Propositions and motions. Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move that the House reconsider the vote by which it failed to pass Senate Bill 257.
Representative McPherson moves the House reconsider the vote by which it failed to pass Senate Bill 257. To your motion.
Colleagues, you'll recall that we had an extended debate on Friday about Senate Bill 257, which would add the words variable annuity to the definition of security under Oregon securities laws. And just to remind you, these are products that are both insurance and have an investment element, and the amount that the purchaser receives under the annuity is dependent upon the investment return of some underlying investments, usually mutual funds. It was rather thoroughly debated on the floor on Friday, and trusting that you haven't forgotten all of the wisdom that was shared around on the floor that day, I will save any further comment about it until a close if necessary. I urge an aye vote, vote on this motion.
Further discussion on the motion to reconsider, Representative Cameron. Representative, further discussion on the motion to reconsider, Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, a little disappointed. We had a lot of debate. We brought out a lot of good points about the bill. We only have one member here that was not here Friday when we debated this issue. It's just not necessary bill. It's going to cost money. I think that the only, you know, I hope the trial lawyers make a lot of money. It's not helping the consumers. It's already a regulated business. Disappointed that we're not trying to consider agreed to amendments, colleagues, agreed to amendments by the Consumers Business Department and the insurance industry.
Further discussion? Representative McPherson, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Madam Speaker. I appreciate the remarks from my good colleague and Vice Chair of the Judiciary Committee, but I do want to comment on several comments that were, or points that were made about the bill. One was that it costs money. In fact, the director of the DCBS appeared before our committee and told us that it would not require any change in their staffing level because they already have responsibility for both securities and insurance and would not be adding staff in order to implement this provision. It just gives them an extra set of tools or remedies that they can apply when they see things have happened in a way that they shouldn't. Second comment was that the trial lawyers want this and would pay off well for the trial lawyers. And in fact, the word that came from those who from the trial bar who appeared before our committee is that they don't expect to be bringing actions themselves under this provision of the law, although it would offer that opportunity, of course, if it were necessary. But they did not see this as a major opportunity for new business on their part. And then the third point, and I think it's probably the most significant point, was stated that this would not be a help to consumers. And in fact, I think that's what this bill is all about. It's about whether the elderly citizens of our state, who are the predominantly the people who are being sold variable annuities, will have those products presented to them as an investment product, because that is in fact what they are. They're promising an investment return, and when an investment is being sold to them, they should have all the protections that go along with the purchase of an investment product, and that means classifying those products as a security. Therefore, I urge an aye vote on this motion.
Those who are of the opinion that the House should reconsider the vote by which it failed to pass Senate Bill 257 will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Representative Lim? Off the floor. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Representative Jensen? Off the floor. The motion, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. In compliance with Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedure, Section 468, Subsection 3, the question immediately recurs on final consideration of Senate Bill 257. Is there further discussion? Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
It's been a long morning. We get to talk a little bit longer here. My question is, what's changed since Friday? Colleagues, on Friday, this bill, quote, was not a priority, Corey Streisinger. Colleagues, were there any specific examples brought forward on Friday? Nope. How many complaints were filed? I think it got down to about, from the original 60 and 40,000 policies sold, got down to two or three. Being here long enough, I know if I stand up long enough, I'll lose some more votes. But we had a long debate about this bill on Friday, and nothing's changed since then. I urge your no vote.
Further discussion, Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, you've heard the story, all but one representative in the body. The thing that disappoints me is that there's consensus agreement on an amendment that the chair would not refuse to hear between the insurance industry and the Director of Consumers and Business Affairs.
Further discussion? Representative McPherson, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I really did think the only thing I'll comment on was actually the last point that was made. In fact, the statement that was made to me from the director of DCBS about the proposal to remove the remedies that was contained in the minority report is that they were neutral. They had no position on that proposal. So it's true they didn't oppose it, but they do support the main bill, and they continue to support the bill as it comes forward to you today. So it's supported by the agency that we charge with responsibility for looking after elderly Oregonians who are being sold this product. It is also supported, as I informed you on Friday, by the AARP, which is the largest advocacy group for our elderly citizens, because they see the important need for this protections with respect to the conversion of retirement accounts, which are a sum certain of money, into a lifetime income, offering an opportunity for variable investment return. And they want to make sure that when those products are sold to our elderly citizens, that they have the full range of protections that they should have. So it's a good bill. It was on Friday. Nothing's changed. It's just we have more people on the floor so we can get fuller consideration of the issue. Therefore, I urge an aye vote on Senate Bill 257A.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Brueger, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Off the floor. Senate Bill 257A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills. Consent calendar. Third reading of House bills. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 582 relating to University Venture Development Funds and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 954 relating to taxation and appropriate money.
Bills read the first time or passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 58 relating to arbitrators available through state conciliation service. Senate Bill 134 relating to 34 against state veterinary medical examining board. Senate Bill 191 relating to long-term care insurance and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 325 relating to personal appearance and juvenile proceedings. Senate Bill 351 relating to missing persons. Senate Bill 375 relating to minimum energy efficiency standards. Senate Bill 504 relating to intending physicians for workers' compensation claims. Senate Bill 523 relating to motor vehicle liability insurance. Senate Bill 729 relating to bicycles. Senate Bill 753 relating to ombudsman. Senate Bill 865 relating to food stamp benefits and declaring an emergency.
Bills read second time or passed to third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the bills remaining on today's third reading of Senate bills be carried over to their proper place on the Wednesday, May 30th, 2007 third reading calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Other business of the House? Other business of the Senate? Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. There will not be a Democratic caucus today. And secondly, Madam Speaker, I request unanimous consent that the rules be suspended so Representative Scott may change his vote on Senate Bill 257A. It will not change the outcome.
Representative Hunt requests unanimous consent that Representative Scott be allowed to change his vote on Senate Bill 257A. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Scott, how do you vote?
Aye.
Votes aye. Further announcements? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The House Committee on Revenue will meet promptly at 1:45. We have several work sessions scheduled for today. I would ask members to be prompt. Thank you.
Further announcements? Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm happy to announce that your Committee on Government Accountability and Information Technology has completed its work and will hold no further meetings.
Further announcements? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Republicans, we will not caucus today. Watch your emails for the next one.
Further announcements? Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, it is with great sadness that I have to announce today the death of a very fine man from the south coast of Oregon, Scott Boley, who has served so diligently on fisheries issues and coastal issues, and he died suddenly of a heart attack last night. And our Coastal Caucus will be writing a letter to his wife and thanking her for sharing him with us for the years that we've had him. He was a wonderful person. We'll miss him terribly.
Further announcements? Remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 10 a.m. Wednesday, May 30th, 2007.
Madam Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10 a.m. Wednesday, May 30th, 2007.
Representative Jensen moves that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. Wednesday, May 30th, 2007. Without objection, the House is adjourned.